Today, crypto in 2019. Hello again, I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to our latest post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Today, I want to discuss one of the burning questions which the DFA community has been asking. What's the future of cryptos, including Bitcoin? The falls from recent highs over the past year have separated those who believe it's just a blip and Bitcoin and other cryptos will come roaring back from others who are more sceptical. And now, as you know, my position remains that whilst blockchains and distributed ledger technologies, or DLTs, are interesting, the current fleet of cryptos are speculative vehicles with no known true value. But in this post, I want to look at the question from two perspectives. First, central bank initiatives, and second, the private, unregulated sector. So first then, the Bank for International Settlements just published a report, Proceeding with Caution, a survey on central bank digital currency. The survey contains information from 63 central banks who responded to the BIS survey relating to central bank digital currencies, or CBDCs, but they also covered crypto too. Central banks are reportedly thinking about how new central bank digital currencies could replace traditional money. But although a majority of central banks are researching CBDCs, this work is primarily conceptual, and only a few intend to issue a CBDC in the short to medium term. They discussed the three variants of CBDC, highlighted by the grey shaded areas within the so-called money flower. The first is a general purpose account-based variant, i.e. an account at the central bank for the general public. This will be widely available and primarily targeted at retail transactions, but also available for broader use. The second form is a general purpose token-based variant, i.e. a type of digital cash issued by the central bank for the general public. This second variant would have similar availability and functions to the first, but would be distributed and transferred differently. For example, Sweden's Riksbank is working on an e-krona project, which began in early 2017, and they published a second report in October 2018. The report noted that the use of cash continues to decline and that the state needs to have a role in the payment market. A means by which to do this is to have an electronic krona. The e-krona would be a complement to cash, as well as to current electronic payments, especially in a serious crisis where other electronic payments might not be available. The Riksbank envisages a platform where payment service providers of the e-krona would connect and distribute the currency. These PSPSs could, the Riksbank thinks, use DLT in providing their services. And the next stage of the program will be a pilot for a pre-value, non-interest-bearing and traceable e-krona. And this will investigate a range of possible choices to better inform the decision whether to issue a full-scale e-krona later. And the last form is a wholesale token or value-based variant, i.e. a restricted access digital token for wholesale settlements, for example, interbank payments or security settlements. In the short term, the BIS says that over 85% of central banks see themselves as either somewhat unlikely or very unlikely to issue any type of CBDC. And none was likely to issue a wholesale CBDC in the short term. At this stage, most central banks appear to have clarified the challenges of launching a CBDC, but they're not yet convinced that the benefits will outweigh the costs. As well as questions on CBDC, the survey also asked central banks about private digital tokens, encompassing the wide variety of digital tokens not issued by central banks. Decentralized digital tokens without an issuer that are not representative of any underlying asset or a liability are referred to as cryptocurrencies. And the survey included questions on the use of cryptocurrencies for domestic and cross-border payments, their judgment on whether that use would rise or fall, and the state of experimentation with other digital tokens by the private sector in their jurisdictions. no central banks reported any significant or wider public use of cryptocurrencies for either domestic or cross-border payments in their jurisdictions. Usage of cryptocurrencies is assessed to be either minimal, trivial, or none, or concentrated in niche groups for a large majority of the responding central banks. Answers were largely based on judgment informed by industry, market, and research sources, although a few transaction monitoring programs are reportedly in place. So most central banks have not formed a firm view, especially in the case of cross-border payments. Of those that could, the majority think use in payments will remain minor. Reasons for this judgment include low retail acceptance, compliance issues, better public understanding by the general public of the risks involved, for some jurisdictions outright bans. And some central banks reported that both the current and prospective use of cryptocurrencies seemed contained to such assets being used for investment purposes. So we can conclude that cryptos are not going to get a boost short-term from central banks. But what of the private sector? Now, of course, some still remember the heady days when Bitcoin was reaching towards $20,000 and Ethereum to nearly $1,500. Nowadays, Bitcoin hovers around $3,800 while Ethereum is around $150. Some still believe a rise is possible, but not in the short term. Actually, there are a few parallels. Bitcoin's previous bubble, which pushed the digital currency to a peak of $1,200 in December 2013, before it fell to $171, took more than 3 years before the cryptocurrency reinflated itself to its 2017 all-time high. And that occurred on significant volatility. And in a more traditional example, the NASDAQ composite took 15 years to return to the elevated levels it saw before the dot-com bubble in the early 2000s. Thus, perhaps a new all-time high for cryptocurrencies either occur 2 or 3 years from now, when perhaps improved technology can deliver on mainstream adoption and daily usability, or when enough new money enters the arena and spurs a new mania for cryptocurrencies. But mania is the critical word there. But then, deadcoins.com, yes, there is really a site called that, currently lists 934 defunct coins. Some were outright scams, others were hacked, and many just died when their funding dried up. Yet others were a bad fit for their business models. On the other hand, there are more than 2,500 crypto coins currently around, compared with 1,300 last year, but we think many of these will fail in the months and years ahead. This is because the recent falls have killed off investor interest in initial coin offerings or ICOs as the cryptocurrency has fallen, and we have seen regulators tighten the net around ICOs. Most recently, charges were filed by the US Securities and Exchange Commission against Airfox and Paragon for violating securities laws. Regulators remain slow off the mark, but the SEC now has a program of enforcement, so we can expect more charges against ICOs and exchanges to be levelled in 2019, all of which may scare away more investors. Interestingly, though, it appears that some crypto holders have switched to more tested, safer coins such as Bitcoin, or even switched to the much safer US dollar. As Warren Buffett, who ironically does not like cryptocurrencies, says, "Only when the tide goes out do you discover who's been swimming naked." And now the massive cash inflow that once bathed the entire asset class has receded. It's becoming clear what's working and what's not. Now, the SEC has indicated that it will approve a cryptocurrency financial instrument only when there's significant evidence that it is virtually impossible to manipulate the asset class and it's a safe investment for the general public. And that means that right now, SEC rules call for much more stability and transparency than the cryptosphere can provide. Nearly all projects, Bitcoin included, are still in the early stages of development, making them less stable than the SEC would wish. And one of the central tenets of the asset is privacy, which clashes directly with the regulatory requirement revealing who the buyers are in order to mitigate manipulation and block money laundering. Some institutional investors were considering entering the crypto market, but in recent times, the rate of progress for investment banks has slowed as prices have fallen. And this will not reverse anytime soon. And if broader financial markets do go south, further appetite for crypto will evaporate. Now, there are still some innovations out there. For example, both Van Eyck and Solidex have proposed over-the-counter institutional Bitcoin EFTs. But as yet, there is still no clear proof that they can't be manipulated. And in addition, given Bitcoin's currently low price, which was still head lower, by the way, they would not qualify as institutional EFTs since shares of a few thousand dollars don't make it investment grade, but rather simply retail. However, hardcore crypto bugs have not given up on the asset class, and there are still plenty of development teams working on enhanced infrastructure for cryptocurrencies later. And that may mean that those, for example, like Bitcoin, could thrive later, perhaps. But on the user side, Bitcoin payments remain slow, though the Lightning Network has helped facilitate a better rate of performance, as well as solutions such as CasaHold and Noddle.it, who aim to provide fully ready, non-coding required Bitcoin full networks. Both efforts may well arrive in the coming years, but they are not the main game yet. And there's also a team working on the next generation of Ethereum, known as Serenity. And this upgrade is planned for the fourth quarter 2019 and includes moving away from proof of mining to proof of stake. But it seems to me there is no underlying reason why crypto won't continue to stay in the doldrums for the next couple of years. Even hardcore believers will need faith to keep the crypto religion alive. And beyond that, the CBDC initiatives may also assist in giving crypto flight, but it's not an easy road ahead, and it will not happen quickly. Before I go, a quick reminder, the next DFA live stream is scheduled for 8 p.m. Sydney time on Tuesday, the 15th of January. And you can join the live chat on the night or send me questions beforehand. And if you get value from our posts, please do consider making a contribution. You can do so via Patreon, here's a link, or by making a donation via PayPal. And again, here's a link for that. By the way, we're working on a Bitcoin alternative, and there'll be more about that later on. We really do appreciate all the support, and it helps us to continue to make great content. As always, if you like what you've seen here today, please share and like the post and add a comment or question. I do read them all. And if you want to join the Growing Bounder subscribers who receive alerts when we release new posts, do subscribe now by ringing that subscribe bell. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you next time.